You are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. It's that time again on a cold, cold Wednesday morning. My name is Justin Vecino, and this is Press Start, your weekly look at games and the video game industry, heard only here on KCPR, broadcasting live from the Cal Poly studios. I'll be with you till the next hour, discussing all things gaming, and we got a lot to get to. It's been a busy week. It's the first week that, or I guess the week and a half since the Nintendo Wii and the PlayStation 3 have been out. So we'll talk about that. In addition, we got some music news because there's a new remix album out, which I will get to as well. We weren't on the air last week because of the Thanksgiving holiday, and the week before that we had some station auction going on. So we are back. This is the first time in a couple of weeks that we've been on the air. So if you want to get last week's show is available for download. You can go to the website pressstart.thefighting.org, pressstart.thefighting.org, and I believe it's the newest update we have there. You can subscribe to the podcast while you're there if you want to get this show, if you're not around to listen every Wednesday morning. And last week was a fairly important show. We talked about, we did a review of Gears of War, and we talked about the PS3 launch. And in fact, we were on the scene for the PS3 launch on Thursday night. So we got some local reaction to the people waiting in line who are crazy to get their hands on the PS3. So check that out. It's over at the website, pressstart.thefighting.org. And in addition, you can email the show anytime you want, but if you really want to email the show during the show today, this morning, the email address, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. Inbox is always open for whatever you want to say. So, as I said, there's some musical news. In fact, there's a new remix album out. It's called Project Chaos, and it is the second remix project from Overclocked Remix to feature a Sonic the Hedgehog game. The first, as you may remember, was Hedgehog Heaven for Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and we had actually Richter on the program back when that came out a couple years back. This one just came out within the last week, I believe. It's called Project Chaos. It features about 30 or so, I think it's a little more, about 30 tracks of remix songs from Sonic and Knuckles, was that cool game for the Sega Genesis that you could plug other Sonic games into and have Knuckles be playable in those games. But it's the URL for the remix project on the internet, and this is also completely free, as all the remix projects are. Completely free, meaning you can download the songs, and of course we always advocate using BitTorrent because it saves bandwidth for all the people involved hosting the project. But the URL is sk3.ocremix.org, and they actually did a pretty good job on the website this time. They got this cool flash logo of the Sonic and Knuckles logo. Maybe it is not. Yeah, no, it's let's see, I might have gotten the URL wrong. Let's double check that for you. In any case, go ahead and download it, check it out. It's got some really good stuff. There's some big names involved in this project. I was mistaken. It's S3K, not SK3. S3K.ocremix.org. And you can download the tracks there and find out about the project. They did a good job on the website. It's really cool stuff. Hayden, who was the sort of orchestrator of the album, has a couple of words there. And they finally got it done. It's been a long time in the making. Got remixed pretty much from every track from Sonic and Knuckles. And some big names, as I said, Akuma Joe Belmont's on there, Reza is on there, it's the first work from him that we've seen in a long time, Snappleman, Red-Tailed Fox, Daniel Baranowski has a couple tracks as well, and he's off doing his own thing now. So go check it out, s3k.ocremix.org. It's a treat, especially if you like the Sonic music. As I mentioned, we got a lot of news this week. We got the new Famitsu Scores, which is Japan's largest gaming magazine, for the stuff that came out over there. You know, like Mistwalker Studios, Blue Dragon, one of the most anticipated titles for the Xbox 360. It's been reviewed. We will give you the score to that a little bit later on. As well as some other great news. And Dave Hampton, of course, will be joining me in the booth so we can get to all of that. He's got some good stuff for you this week as well. Before we dive in, let's take a music break here. It's a remix from Metal Gear Solid, and it's called Legend of the Snake 2, Snake vs. Dragon by Ruben Key. We'll be right back. This is KCPR 91.3 FM. You are listening to Press Start on KCPR, San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM. That was a remix from Ruben Key, who is a very talented musician. It's called Legend of the Snake 2, Snake vs. Dragon. And that's available over on ocremix.org. I'm joined now by our good friend and fellow countryman, Dave Hampton.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Played a whole lot of games last night.
Yeah,
supposed to do that. Supposed to be doing homework.
Heard about that. How's that senior project coming, huh?
Actually, I got really far on it last night before I played games, so I didn't feel too bad.
So you did it the wrong way.
The what?
You did it the wrong way.
The wrong,
To play games first and then get really far behind.
Yeah, no, I've been giving games a miss while I worked on this one, but I fixed a problem I've been working on for 2 weeks, so I feel pretty good.
Yeah, to celebrate with some not doing of work.
That's right.
That's right. I'm actually celebrating a milestone today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I turned 21 today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, everybody's turning 21 this week. I have two other friends, I think.
Crazy.
Wow.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah. Birthday presents.
Well, yeah, that too. The other,
I'll have to get back to you
on that. We'll save what it really means for the post-show, because I don't think I can say that on the air. Yeah, so I'm 21 today.
Well,
so,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And now, as my friends say, I have unlimited access to pure human vice.
Wow.
So that'll be...
Doing anything special for your birthday?
Working on a project that's due tomorrow, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay,
so
well.
The celebration will have to wait.
Fair enough.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That much better when you get to it, I guess.
I suppose. But, so I understand you are the proud new sort of adopter of a Nintendo Wii.
Sort of adopter, yeah. My roommate picked one up, and I haven't really played on it much, except Wii Sports, which rocks. And I've been watching him play it for the last few weeks, or no, for the last week, I guess. I'm watching him play it a little bit, and it seems to be a fantastic little machine. I've gotten over my initial niggles with the sensor bar and trying to get it to point where I want it to.
Did you work that out, by the way, that whole where, you know, it wasn't pointing correctly at the TV screen?
We just gave up and decided that its position is relative to where it was before, and it's not based on any absolute position on the TV, so...
Okay.
Once I gave up and relegated myself to that, it became a lot more intuitive.
And you played Wii Sports. How was Wii Sports?
Wii Sports is excellent. I played it with my brother for a little while. Not the sort of game I'd sit there and play single player, you know, for hours on end, but fantastic party game. Great multiplayer game. Great accidentally punch yourself in the, or punch your friend in the face when trying to swing the tennis racket game.
Yeah, I've seen some videos online of people, like, just hauling back and trying to, you know, pretend to smack the tennis ball.
Yeah, that's how I play this game.
You really don't need to do that, though, do you? I mean,
no,
I mean sure, you
no,
want
you
to
can,
get into
you
it.
You can hold it, and you can move. You can just rotate it about an axis so it doesn't go anywhere. But that's no fun. I want to jump around and, like, leap off the couch and do freaking flying dive hits.
Do a John McEnroe slam on the ground. What are you doing? I can't. That was in. No?
Oh, no. Yeah, you can't yell and swear. At least the game won't pick it up.
Well, okay.
It's interesting. It's all accelerometers. So if you put your hand to the left, but you're twisting it a certain way, it thinks you're swinging to the right. Because, you know, moving it to the left is the same as following through on a right swing. So if you move it to the left slowly and then swing backhand, it works fine. Move it to the right slowly and then swing normally, it's fine. But if you do it too fast, it'll actually make the swing on the wrong side.
Interesting. So any other games that your roommate's picked up for it?
He picked up Zelda, which is great. I mean, you can read about that anywhere on the internet. You don't need to hear it from me. Red Steel, which is also great, and apparently developed in 6 months. So it's, you know, it has a little few rough edges here and there, but still fantastically playing game.
So
it harkens back to GoldenEye.
If it was developed in 6 months, and I went to E3, about 6 months ago, does this mean that I was playing the very first build of Red Steel?
It doesn't mean they stopped building it just recently. They may have had it done for some time, moved on to another project.
Was
that was
rough.
Just what my roommate said. I have no idea if that's true or not.
It was a little rough around the edges when I played it as well.
Yeah. It's just, you know, there's no super new animations, ragdoll physics, none of this crazy stuff we're used to seeing. It plays like an old-style first-person shooter with a new kind of control scheme, and those old games were great, and this new game is great. So it's, you know, I foresee a lot of people, you know, giving it low reviews because they can't figure out what's next-gen about it. But anyway, I think that game's great. And then he picked up Rayman's Raving Rabbids, which is, well, it's a game about smashing rabbits.
You can never go wrong with a game about smashing rabbits.
It's pretty much all it is it's a collection of mini games in which you generally inflict some sort of harm upon rabbits. And there are, you know, cute little bunny rabbits. There's these freakish snowman-looking abominations that Ubisoft came up with.
I love those rabbits. They're so, they're like cute, but in a psychotic way.
Yeah, they're scary.
That was the game I wanted more than anything when I saw it. When I first heard about the Wii and saw it at E3, I was like, if I get a Wii, Rayman, first game I pick up. So
it looks fun. It's, yeah. I mean, I got the impression that it was in a very elaborate WarioWare, and, you know, they're clever enough about it that everyone didn't go, hey, WarioWare. But same sort of appeal, same, oh, let's try this game. I want to play it this way.
Anytime you can shoot plungers at a bunny, I think you've got a recipe for success on your hands.
Yeah, they have a little mini light gun game where you go through and do exactly that.
Yeah.
Fire plungers out. You can fire plungers into radios and it'll turn them on. The bunnies will start dancing.
That is awesome.
So yeah, good game.
So the Wii, living up to expectations or, I mean, providing maybe some different
seems that way.
Than what you thought?
Honestly, I really love my 360 and I've gotten used to seeing games like Gears of War and, you know, Dead Rising and thinking, wow, this looks next gen. It's a good thing I didn't wait 5 years to pick this system up. And then, you know, I go and I play the Wii and I say, this looks like a GameCube with less time put into the animations. That's the impression I got. But, I mean, the control scheme's so amazing. It's one of those, you know, graphics and visuals are only so important. I find myself still drawn to playing Wii games.
Speaking of the Xbox 360, I have to say that it's really living up to its potential right about now. I mean, you've got
Mine hasn't broken? That's great. I love that.
Burn. Well, it's got Gears of War out, and we talked about that last week, and it's got that game Viva Pinata. Who knew about Viva Pinata being such a great game?
You know, that game was hyped quite a lot. I was hearing about it everywhere. I still don't know anything about it because I didn't read any of the articles, but I saw that they were all there.
Yeah, no, but it's been getting a lot of critical acclaim, and people are sort of discovering Viva Pinata as, like, this great game that you need to have if you own an Xbox 360.
What kind of game is it?
I'm not too familiar with it. It's sort of like a... Like, you create these creatures that are, like, pinata-looking, and they kind of grow, and I'm not too familiar with it.
Okay.
All I know is that it's been, you know, a lot of people...
Sort of virtual world, virtual pet sort of
kind
thing.
Of, yeah, kind of like that, except they're, like, okay. Pinatas, so I don't...
Right.
Yeah. So that's been getting a lot of hype, and Lost Planet from Capcom, that's that shooter that comes out in January or February, I believe. That looks awesome, and there's a lot of good games, Oblivion and, you know, the sports games if you're into that kind of thing. Xbox 360 is finally, you know, pulling into that state where it's getting a lot of good releases all in a row.
You know, I gotta say, Lost Planet was the game that made me say I am going to buy a 360 at some point. Just, it looked like something I'd love. After playing Gears of War, which is also a third-person shooter, I mean, you know, I can say all I want about, you know, being some game connoisseur and looking at all the fine-tuned difference, but honestly... They're both third-person shooters, and I'm shallow enough to compare the two. And I'm wondering how many other people are as well. Is Lost Planet going to be able to stand up after Gears of War, or are people going to want more of that sort of thing? And then it's a very clever move to put it out later. No idea. I'm still looking forward to it, though.
As am I, and we will have full coverage of Lost Planet once it's released early next year, because it holds a lot of promise, and there's a lot of good stuff looking about that game. That didn't even really make sense, but...
Small Arms. Small Arms is really good, too.
Small Arms?
On the Live Arcade.
Oh, okay.
It's like Smash Brothers without the smashing, and I'm pretty sure there are no brothers.
So it's just...
It's the same thing. It's a four-player party-ish game, but everything's guns. Everything's guns and gunplay, and you can't block.
Hey,
so
that's
cool. It plays like a first-person shooter. Run around, you know, kill the other guys as fast as you can, rack up more kills than, you know, they do. You are going to die. Not like Smash Brothers, where you run away and you try to be... You know, very efficient about your lives. You can still play with lives on this game, too. But it's like playing a first-person shooter with lives. Eventually, you know, there's only so much you can do when you can't block. If someone shoots you, you have to dodge.
It's like real life. You can't block bullets.
Yeah. Neat game.
Except me. I can block bullets.
Oh, can you?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Well, let's see. I brought my... Just kidding.
Okay. All right, let's get to the news, because there is some good news this week that may relate to you or may not relate to you. So this is this week's edition.
One of those two.
One of those two. So a study conducted in the United Kingdom by, I love this title, the International Gaming Research Unit at Nottingham Trent University in the United Kingdom.
International Gaming Research Unit?
Yes.
IGRU.
IGRU.
Sounds like the name of a character in Zork. Maybe I'm thinking of the Grus.
I want to know.
Maybe IGRU.
IGRU, that could be.
It's like Apple's version of the GRU, where it's trendy, but it'll still kill you in the dark.
And runs out of batteries quickly?
Yeah.
What I want to know is how many other countries are involved in the International Gaming Research Unit, and why this is the first time I've ever heard of them. If it's so international.
Well, it's doing something in Europe, right?
Well, yes.
And you're hearing about it here?
You are hearing about it here.
International.
Nottingham Trent University, it's a research study they did of 7,000 online gamers. They found in their research that 12% of these online gamers exhibited at least three of the criteria for addiction.
Oh.
As given to us by the World Health Organization. Those criteria are craving, withdrawal symptoms, loss of control, and neglect of other activities. And remember, this applies to online gaming, especially online RPGs.
Wow.
They mainly use males. Average age was 21.
Well, they'd have to.
Yeah, well, it's tough to find women who...
It's just that's the most tougher, representative demographic.
Yeah, it's tougher to find women who play online stuff. And they're basically... The reason they did this was they were trying to find out about addiction and online gaming to see how strong, you know, the connection was there. And they found that, 12% are exhibiting addictive behavior.
Jack Thompson on this one yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Maybe he will be. Maybe. I mean, he's been silent for such a long time. He's like Pompeii, just waiting to erupt and bury people in ash and hot molten rock.
And spew hot air.
Yeah, and spew hot air. Exactly. That was good.
Thank you.
So that is the... That was an interesting result for that study. However, I found it quite interesting that the professor who was leading this study, he said that games also have many useful applications, and they act as distractor tasks, which are, like, if you're going through, like, painful therapy, I guess one of the new methods for treating people is to have them play a video game if it's, like, a painful type of medical procedure. Well, they have to be
awake
for.
I've heard about that.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting, too.
Well, sure. Just like people playing, you know, WoW or something like that can't hear, the sounds of one of their, their kids crying or one of those other terrible stories.
Or their kids drowning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something terrible like that. You know, there's probably some science there. You know, I wonder about that. How addicting are online games as games, and how addicting are they just because they're social?
That was one of the major things about the study, and the reason they think they found what they found is because online RPGs especially have no ending. There's no ultimate goal in an MMORPG. There's no end to the game, and because of that, it's not like the player can beat the final boss or win the game and turn it off and have a feeling of completion and satisfaction. It's because it never ends. There's always something to strive for, and that is what they hypothesize is the reason for...
Oh, you
addiction.
Know, I would say it's just like, you know, those irresponsible people who go out with their friends every night and never, you know, never do any work. They neglect their home. You know, they're out having fun all the time. That's all similarly social experience. It has no end. It pulls you back to it each time with, you know, promises of incremental rewards and, you know, oh, hey, come out with us tonight. That'll be fun. Okay. And then everybody goes. I wonder if the only difference between that and something like WoW is WoW starts with people who don't have a whole lot of friends and gives them a hook.
Could be. And you brought up a good point because in the last – this entire quarter actually, since I started school this year, there are these guys on my way home walking – on my way home back to my apartment. I walk a certain way every day and there's this one house and every time I pass by, doesn't matter what day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, any day of the week, pick one. Every time I walk by, I usually walk by around 5 o'clock, these same people who live there are always, every time I walk by, playing beer pong in the backyard. No matter what day it is, and I can't even begin to fathom how on like every day night of the week you could play that. So it's kind of the same thing. Right?
I don't think I could drink that much water, let alone booze.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But I just thought of the same thing because
Sure. Every night it actually there is a cost associated with not going there. Their friends wonder about, you know, oh sure, you got to do something else. Okay, what if it happens a couple of times? Hey, do you still want to hang out with us? You know, There's a negative penalty there, as opposed to some other kind of penalty. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, the positive penalties that come out.
This is a happy penalty.
And I wonder about people I know who may be addicted to gaming, who may be addicted to online, who just can't escape. And I know a few people who
also,
that might apply to.
It's incremental, too. Oh, they play a little bit more. You don't notice it. At what point when you say, oh, my friend, you know, does whatever it is he's doing so much that if I took it away from him, he'd actually have withdrawal symptoms? Kind of makes you wonder. You know, what constitutes a withdrawal symptom? Did they say that?
No, but I believe withdrawal is when it's like a shift in mood to be sort of more like aggressive or more depressed, and
okay.
It's also you get physical symptoms too sometimes from withdrawal, shaking, and other types of things.
Oh, interesting.
Those are that's more for chemical substances, I think. But for
I wonder about that.
It's different. It's kind of interesting because one, you know, you think of drugs and alcohol as chemical substances that biologically alter the body, and an online game that doesn't. I mean, I guess you can make the argument that it biologically alters the mind, but
anytime you're happy, that's a chemical function.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder if you can get addicted to your own sources of happiness.
Well, obviously you can.
Or not even happiness, but just comfort. I play games to relax when I'm tired of school.
Just like someone would smoke a cigarette to relax if they're tired of school, if they don't game.
Yeah, some people handle it that way. And I, you know, I notice there are times when I go, you know, for a couple of weeks at a time doing schoolwork, I really want to play a game because I'm so used to doing that to relax. And sometimes, you know, I'll just, you know, finally throw down my work and go do that for a while. I wonder if that counts.
Could be. It would be interesting.
I think this is perfectly normal, but well, you know, that's me. I'm the one doing it. That's not my decision, I suppose.
A lot of human behavior is based around trying to take away all the negative stress that builds up throughout a day. And, you know, people cope with that different ways. Some obviously more acceptable than others. But This is quite an interesting thing. If you have a story, anecdote, a personal experience with you or someone you know who has been addicted, call AA. No, call... Don't call. Email the show because we'd like to hear what you have to say about...
Yeah, get them some help, then email the show. Well, if you're going to talk about that World of Warcraft thing with the socks, don't. We've heard it. It's disgusting.
I don't want to say help someone first before you email. It's kind of like, I kind of equate this situation to the oxygen mask thing in an airplane. You know, put yours on before assisting others. So email the show with your, you know, if you have something about people who become addicted to online games, email the show first and then go help whoever needs it.
Okay.
You know, it's more important that we get the information than you help that person.
Yes, we're kidding.
You may be. I don't know.
I had me on there for a second. Serious. I was kind of like, what?
Email address, once again, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. We'd like to hear what you have to say about gaming addiction. In a less addictive side to the news, the Nintendo Virtual Console has new Virtual Console games for... the system for the Wii, and Nintendo promised every Monday there would be new titles this week.
Every Monday? Nice.
Yes. This week we got Superstar Soldier.
That game is fun.
Yes.
I made my roommate download that. I bought him lunch. He downloaded me that game.
And yesterday, two more games were made available by Sega. Golden Axe and Echo the Dolphin are also out on the Wii Virtual Console.
Excellent.
Good stuff. In other news, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the latest Famitsu scores are in, and that includes Blue Dragon, which was Sakaguchi's masterpiece RPG of his first project under Mistwalker Studios.
That's right, I remember this.
And Famitsu is a pretty big fan, 99910 for a total score of 37 out of 40.
Well.
So if that doesn't bode well, if you are a Japanese RPG fan and you own an Xbox 360, you are in dire straits because all you have is Enchanted Arms. But Blue Dragon will be coming stateside, and it's being highly touted here by one of the world's most premier gaming magazines.
Oh, good.
Good news. They also reviewed the Nintendo Wii launch, a couple of the launch titles. Wii Sports got a 30 out of 40, which is respectable. And Wii Play, which, if you didn't know, Wii Play is sort of another Wii Sports. It's a compilation of mini games. We reported on this last week. They gave that one a also respectable 28 out of 40.
Cool.
So,
I say they have Jump Ultimate Stars in there, too.
They do have Jump Ultimate Stars. That one is the sequel to Jump Superstars.
Oh, it is. Cool.
It is for the Nintendo DS, import only. But 30 out of 40, not bad.
Yeah, I saw import games at Best Buy the other day.
Speaking of import games, yeah, you know what's funny? Before I get into that, yeah, I see that too. A lot of stores now are carrying import DS games because
that's
they're region free.
Yeah.
Fry's Electronics carries import.
Yeah, they were the first, I think.
Yeah, carry import DS games. You know, I went into Fry's this summer and I saw Bomberman Land Touch for the DS in the Japanese version. I'm like, hey, I'm working on that game right now at Atlas. Why is that here?
But that's cool.
But it was the Japanese version, and that game's also out in America as well. And if you happen to own Bomberman Land Touch, I took all the pictures for the manual over the summer, so I'll just give myself props for that. I took the screenshots for the manual. But yeah, import games. There is a new game that came out in Japan last week.
Okay.
Okay. What is the First of all, let's start with this. Little quiz for you, Dave.
Okay.
What is Canada's national sport?
Oh, it's going to be curling.
No. It is lacrosse. Isn't that interesting? What is Canada's most popular sport?
Curling.
No, it's hockey. What's
beaver punting.
Beaver punting is right up there. Beaver punting is right up there. In fact, Michelle Ansel's working on Rayman beaver punting right now as we speak.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent. Yeah, Ansel's
doing an entire Rayman.
No, animal violence.
The PETA bait, I guess. Rayman versus PETA.
No, curling is very popular, and I do want to talk about curling because this is the first curling game that I can remember that's come out for a video game system.
I was just kidding, but that... Okay.
It's called Nina No Curling for the Nintendo.
Curling for everyone.
Yes, literally. Curling for everyone for the Nintendo DS. It's an international curling game, so it's international style play. It features teams Sweden, Switzerland, Japan, United States, Italy, Canada, Britain, and I think there's a couple more in there. All the major curling powers in the world.
I didn't even know we had curling powers.
Yeah, we had. Hey, the U.S. won a bronze medal last year in the Winter Olympics in curling, men's curling team.
Cool. I just didn't know anything in curling constituted a power.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There are definitely Britain is a curling power. Canada,
right.
Curling power. But and I was thinking about this, and curling is a no-brainer for the Nintendo DS. The way the system is set up in curling, in the DS is set up, makes curling the perfect companion for it. You think about it. Curling is sort of like, it's a combination of like shuffleboard and bowling and like bocce ball kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what curling, it's basically you throw these stones down this alley of ice. There's a target at the end called the house and you score. Each team gets 10 stones. You score by having more stones closer to the center of the house than your opponent. So that's how you get points. And you may have seen it. You know, you got the people with the brush and they're screaming, you know, like,
yeah,
hard.
What are they doing with that brush? I never understood it.
The way that works is the brush, curling is called curling because what happens is when the stones are thrown, there's a little bit of spin put on them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And because it's ice, there's no friction. And so what they do is they sweep the ice in front of the stone. And
okay.
What this does is it smooths the ice out and makes it frictionless. So the ice around the area where they sweep has more friction.
Oh, so are they cutting grooves in there?
They're not cutting grooves. What they're doing is making like a channel for the stone.
Okay.
So that it grips the outside of the area where they're sweeping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And turns and curls ever so slightly because they want to try and get it around other stones. And whatnot to get closer to the center because you can block and things like that. But the DS, when you think about it, it's got two screens. Top screen can show you the end of the alley. The bottom touch screen can show you the very where you launch it.
It's small like a puck. It's white like ice. You can throw it down a channel of ice and put some brooms in front of it and try to get close to the house. That's perfect.
Yeah, you could do that.
You need an adapter.
Yeah, that's true too. But the touch screen can be used for the sweeping motion.
Or you could do that.
Yeah, you could do that. And it's also used for throwing the little curling stone at the beginning. And it's just the perfect interface for a curling game. And I have fond memories back for the N64. It was a game called Nagano 98 Winter Olympics, which was the game of the Winter Olympics that year. And they had curling in that game. And was probably the most fun minigame in that. And I remember playing that with my friends for hours and hours. And we didn't really understand curling. But as I grown older, I've sort of become more of a fan of curling. I watched as much curling as I could in the Olympics, and I know people made fun of me for it. They're like, how can you watch curling? It's so boring. But I tell you this, people who say that, curling is...
I don't think they listen to this show.
Well, I'll say it to them anyway. Curling is one of the most strategically intensive winter sports or winter games or anything or games in general there is out there. It's almost like chess on ice. And I'm really tempted to import this game, Mina No Curling.
Yeah, do
so, it. And if I do, I will give a full review of how well it works. Because I understand how curling is played now. I get the rules. I get the strategy. And it'll be I've always wanted a curling video game. And especially one that goes in a portable system. It's perfect. I can whip it out and play.
And it's region-free. I mean,
and it's region-free.
Well, we've got an import store in town, so awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. There are screenshots, by the way. In fact, gamesarefun.com, if you want to go check it out. It's on the front page still. It's the very last article. It's called Mina No Curling DS Screens. That's the title of the article. Click on it, and you can get some stuff, and you can see the team lineup, and you can see the way the game looks and all that good stuff.
Nice.
So if I end up importing it, I will give a review for everyone.
Cool.
All right. And finally, I think that was it finally. Yeah, fine. Oh, no, Rule of Rose. Okay, Rule of Rose, horrible game.
Everyone keeps saying that.
Unfortunately,
and there's two or three people who just love this game, and they always speak up during these conversations.
It's got good elements. The story is very good. The gameplay is utterly atrocious. Okay, so Rule of Rose, the European publisher, decided that it was too controversial because apparently there's some sexual themes that aren't actually in the game, I might add. Because this is, based on the movies and trailers for this game, it shows some very, not disturbing, but some very interesting contact between two young girls. You know, and people, they see this and they're up in arms like, oh, this is a game about child sexuality, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not about that. And what happened is in Europe, the mayor of Rome actually took some offense to this game. And there's a large controversy spread through Europe about the game, about how it needs to be kept away from... It needs to be banned. It needs to be kept away from kids and all that kind of stuff. It came out in the U.S. in September. I picked it up because it looked good at E3, and I was very disappointed in that it sucks really bad. Gameplay is just utterly horrible. The combat system is, like, the worst combat system ever devised. Collision detection is ridiculously just bad. Story's good. Music is good, but that's about the only redeeming qualities. But the publisher in Europe, 505 Games, decided that they were going to cancel the British release of Rule of Rose. So all you British out there, you will have to import it or buy it in another country.
Oh, too bad.
You're not missing out on much.
I guess after all the bad press that game got, it probably wouldn't have been marketable over there anyway.
It's one of those titles that gets a lot of bad press and people want to see what it's all about, and then it really underwhelms as far as, you know, like, oh, this game is not even about what they... There's no bad content in it, et cetera, et cetera. It's not even really about that. About there's no sexuality, really.
Silent Hill 2 had some pretty terrible contact scenes.
Yes, this is true. Speaking of Silent Hill, new info regarding Silent Hill 5.
Ooh.
An article, I don't have the source with me, but an article was found from a Japanese publication. It was ran through Babelfish, and in fact, it revealed that Konami is working on a Silent Hill 5 for a next-gen system, and they're trying to get back to their roots and make it similar in this to Silent Hill 2 in the sense that it's going to be based around psychological horror.
Cool.
I can't wait to see what that turns out to be. Silent Hill series is one of the most remarkable game series out there, and Silent Hill 5 has got to have you titillated in some way.
I have a love-hate relationship with Silent Hill. I've played both 1 and 2. I only finished 1. In both cases, I got frustrated with it halfway through and put it down for some years. I've only put Silent Hill 2 down for about half a year now, so it'll be another year or two before I pick it up again. And I suspect I'll play 3, hate it halfway through, and then go back, pick it up again, and beat it. Decide it's a good game, and I don't know what I was thinking.
2 and 3 are really the best ones. 4, not so much.
Oh, really? I loved 1.
I haven't played 1, actually, so I can't say, but the ones I played, 2 and 3 are quite good.
1 did some great stuff with the PS1 hardware that just, you know, it's only so good, but they still made it really fun. Really creepy.
A lot of Silent Hill fans love Silent Hill 1. Can't make any comment on it because I've never played it. Been trying to play it, but I just haven't had a chance to.
No. Okay, well.
All right, we're going to take a music break. When we come back, the secret to why you may not be able to find a Nintendo Wii in the next couple of weeks.
Uh-oh.
Because there is a reason for this, and there is a reason why stores seem to be sold out of the system when, in fact, Nintendo is releasing, you know, 1.5 million here. So we'll talk about that when we come back. In the meantime, it's a Metroid Prime 2 Echoes remix from Dark Sword called Torvis Clockwork. We'll be right back. Corvus Clockwork by Dark Sword here on Press Start on KCPR, San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM. Don't forget, emails always welcome, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to the podcast and listen to the show later on, pressstart.thefighting.org.
You know, I found out there's another radio show called Press Start.
There are a couple, yes.
I had no idea. A friend of mine was trying to find us and did a Google search and came up with NPR has one.
NPR has
somebody else has one.
NPR is a 15-minute gaming podcast that they do as part of their national news package called Press Start. And there is another one as well that I've seen around. So we might have to send some cease and desist orders out.
I just figure we're Press Start KCPR. I don't see what the big deal is. They have most of our name.
But
they don't have half of the time we have every week. 15 minutes, you said? Our post show is almost that long.
And our post show,
is half that long. Never mind.
And our post show is of a much higher quality.
Is it? I've never heard their show. I assume it's good.
I've never heard
NPR,
their show either. But
NPR.
Just by virtue of the fact that our post show is so awesome that it.
All right, fair enough.
It
wins by default in our little contest that
yes,
we run.
Exactly. And the post show, by the way, if you happen to listen over the air live, the post show is a little extra content we do for our online listeners only, which you can get if you download the show. And it comes right following after this normal, you know, over-the-air FCC-compliant part of Press Start, and then we get to the post-show.
It rocks.
It rocks. All right, so
I think it rocks anyway.
I want to address something. I want to address why it's so dang hard to find a Nintendo Wii recently. And
the answer is capitalism.
The answer is, well, it's like capitalism for, like, affecting capitalism in a negative way. I don't want to say it's, like, reverse capitalism because that's, like, communism, but it's, like, it doesn't make any capitalistic
sense.
I don't understand this, okay? Here's what's happening. This is why you haven't been able to find a Nintendo Wii. Retailers, like Best Buy and Walmart, and yes, I am calling you out. I almost called them a bad name. I am calling those companies out right now because they are putting a marketing practice into place that makes no sense.
He's calling you out. He's going to fight you.
They're jerks about
it. Lot.
They're absolute jerks. What they're doing is they're holding on to their Nintendo Wii shipments and not releasing them for sale until Sundays so that when people come around to do the shopping, they can get them into the store. They're saying, hey, we've got Nintendo Wiis this Sunday, this number of units in stock, and even though they have those units in stock for weeks beforehand, some stores even have Nintendo Wiis from the initial launch that they didn't release to sell that they have in their back that they're holding for Sundays. And they say in the ad, we have this many numbers to sell on starting Sunday, come in, and that's how they get you into the store to buy other things, okay?
Oh, I get it now.
But okay. You go in early in the week, And they're not being upfront about it. They don't say, hey, we can't sell this to you until Sunday. They say, no, we don't have any. We haven't gotten our shipment in yet. And that is complete and utter BS because they have them in the back and they're not releasing them to the general public.
How do you know they have them in the back?
I don't want to rat out my sources. Come on, Dave.
Okay, but you know someone who knows someone.
Yes,
and,
yeah. It's all but confirmed, okay? But they do have them, and they're holding them for Sundays so that when they get people into the store, they'll buy other things from the store. Now, okay, sure, maybe it makes marketing sense, but at the same time, there are people who want to buy the product that you are supplying that you're not letting them buy. How? Why? Stop being jerks.
So at first, I couldn't understand why that was. I mean, I'm of the philosophy everybody does what they think is best for their business or, you know, for whatever it is they're trying to fulfill. And it wasn't until you said that they had the advertisement that said we have this many units on Sunday, because if they didn't say that, people wouldn't come in on Sunday to get the Wii. Everybody'd be like, you know, all right, oh whatever, it'll all be sold out, no big deal. So they're trying to ramp up their sales of other stuff.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing: one day out of the week, people go, wow, they have some. The other 6 days, they can't get their hands on them. The other 6 days, it's like, hey, we're sold out. That's what they're telling people. They're saying, hey, we're sold out.
I think they're worried about getting sued for having false advertisement if they don't have them on Sunday.
Well, I'd like to sue them for not providing me with a product that they have that I want to buy. And I know I realize that sounds stupid because I can't sue them for
that. Yeah, but what you said is you want to.
It's just frustrating because it doesn't make any sense. You have something that people would like to spend their money on, who would give you money, and you are not selling it to them. Stop it. Stop it. Walmart, Best Buy. Allow the flow of commerce to engage itself and... You know, there's an old saying, flow, be like water, okay? You know, it's a I think it's a Confucius philosophy. Be like water. Flow, you know, go along with it. And I think that needs to be said here. Go along with it. Sell your products to people who want to buy them.
Be like water. Liquidate.
Liquidate. Thank you. Ugh. It's just driving me nuts because...
I mean, like I said, I think I understand why they're doing it for their advertising thing. On the other hand, I'm generally in favor of businesses that don't rely on silly advertising gimmicks to sell stuff and just simply have a good, solid business with, you know, decent service, good stock. Those are the places that I frequent.
Well, you know, the decent service that I received at Best Buy has slowly been declining here in San Luis Obispo. So
my friend who worked there no longer works there.
Yeah, well, there you go. So. Perfect example. I'm a little bit mad at Best Buy and Walmart right now. And so I'm going to start a grassroots campaign down with those companies. And we can use the power of the airwaves. This is great. I've never done something like this. I've never done something like this before, but what?
I hate to say it, but I shop at Best Buy all the time.
Okay, well, you're kicked off the show next week.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
You're going to have a Best Buy guy on here. We'll interview him. Actually, you know, you should call one of those people and ask if you can do an interview, because you say, well, this seems like a strange practice, and we'd like to hear your side of it.
I don't really, you know, honestly, I don't really care what he has to say. I'm sure it's an executive decision that comes from the higher-ups that he could just say, hey, I'm following orders. And besides, I don't really care. I don't want to hear what he has to say. I want him to release the Wii to let people buy one. Namely, me. I want to buy one. So let them be sold.
Wee.
So Best Buy, Walmart, those guys are on my negative list now. My bad list, my Christmas bad list. But Circuit City has been pretty good. And this new Circuit City and Best Buy, I can't say enough for. They've been really great to me. And
I got to say, I've been there, I think, two times, maybe three. Every time they were quite kind. Very helpful.
Yeah, nice people there. So that's what I've got to say. If you don't have a Wii and you've been looking for one, that's why. So maybe I don't want to say give some hard times to the people who work at those stores, but maybe you could put them to a little forceful questioning as to why they're not going to sell you one and why they're lying to you about not having any when in fact they do.
Well, you know, I mean, we aren't a, you know, Consumer Reports show either. We're not trying to say, oh, this company's good, this company's bad.
No, that's just my personal opinion.
We're trying to come out and say, like, okay, well, this is what happened to us this time. You know, we would like to know what's going on. At its core, we're a talk show, and so here we are talking about it.
And
please
and
don't take these as, you know, official endorsements of any particular business.
I won't be upset if, you know, if you people out there decide to put some pressure on Best Buy or Walmart to
put pressure on every business, man. Every business.
Yeah, I'm not going to be
people. Pressure them all you want.
Yeah, go for it. I'm not going to be upset about that. Do it. And maybe we can break this stupid cycle of marketing and commercial practice, because it's slowing the economy. It's slowing the flow of the money transfer around to make our community a better, richer place.
Honestly, I think the real solution to the problem is to end all the pre-order madness that's everywhere.
Yes, that would
just
be also...
Everyone wants stuff on launch day. That's the whole problem. We wouldn't be having this problem if there weren't a hojillion people lined up around stores. That's the new thing to do. People line up around stores. People line up in front of movie theaters dressed as characters. They go to anime conventions and dress up as characters. Everywhere, like, the new thing in the news is people in lines doing silly things.
Yeah, I you'll never catch me being a sucker standing in line doing silly things.
Well, you catch me doing it. I think that sort of thing's actually kind of fun. But it's just like, you know, I'm going to be there because I think it'll be kind of fun to stand in the line and, you know, hang out with all the fellow nerds, not because I really have to have a Wii on launch day. I did stand in a Wii line. I have to say I did it.
But you didn't want the Wii. You were just standing there because...
Yeah, I had some friends in line. Yeah. I was hanging out with them.
I wasn't going to stand in line, one, because Nintendo is releasing enough units to satisfy a lot of the demand, and the stores aren't selling them, and also because I didn't necessarily need one on launch day, and frankly, I'm happy I didn't because of the hardware problem so far. I'm kind of waiting till that next batch of production gets here, but...
I usually don't like things on launch day, yeah. Although I did break down and buy a DS on launch day.
First-gen hardware.
First-gen hardware. However, my last one had been stolen, so I really wanted a DS and figured, you know, well, the light's out, might as well get it. Nintendo will replace it if it breaks.
True. All right, one last music break, and when we come back, we'll have a little preview of what's coming up on next week's show, including a peripheral review of a new company I met with back at E3.
Oh, I remember this.
So we'll talk about that in the closing moments of the show. Stick around. In the meantime, here's a remix called Amber Trance. We'll be right back. This is the final few minutes of Press Start on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. Real quick, I did say that Square Enix, the Jump Fest 2006 lineup, which is their sort of Japanese company show to show off all their new games. Quick breakdown of what they're going to be showing there. Final Fantasy 13, Dawn of Mana, Heroes of Mana, which is a real-time strategy game for the DS.
Ah.
Set in the Mana universe. And in fact, the official website for that game is open. Go check it out, gamesarefun.com. They're going to be showing Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wings for the DS, Dragon Quest Monsters Joker, and for the Wii, Dragon Quest Swords, The Masked Queen, and The Tower of Mirrors. So all that's at Jump Festa, and if you live in Japan, hey, let us know what it was like.
We need some Japanese people over there telling us what's up.
Yeah. All right, so in these last couple of minutes we have here, as I mentioned, next week we're going to have a peripheral review of the Sandio Technologies Gamo 3D mouse.
I'm looking forward to this.
I met with this company back at E3, and they developed this mouse that allows you to play PC games one-handed, so that you don't need a keyboard to play most. It's mostly geared towards first-person shooters, but you can do it with a lot of games, a lot of different genres. What they've done, it's a traditional optical mouse, two-button scroll wheel, and they put hat switches, one in the middle, right above the scroll wheel, and two on the side, so your thumb and pinky finger or ring finger will fit perfectly into it. And these hat switches can be set, can be mapped to any function you want in the games. So what it allows you to do is allows you to just put movement and things onto the hat switches. So like translational movement, so strafe and forward and backward can be put on these hat switches on the mouse. So all you do is play with your right hand.
So you're saying this game or this thing gives you a left brain right brain conflict?
Yeah, you've got it's a lot like
this is gonna be great.
It's a lot like the Wii. You've got to like relearn how you play PC games. But once I got used to it, I spent some time at the convention playing Unreal Tournament 2004 with it, and after a while, it just felt so great. One handed, right hand, I could do everything. I could strafe, I could circle run, I could turn and aim, I could zoom in, reload. Everything is on the right hand mouse. And
I want to see two of these where you control a mech.
That would be cool.
Get the legs on the hat switches, and you've got each of the arms as a mouse.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Good possibilities there. So we will have a full review of that, how well it works, and Dave will provide that for you.
I will.
He's been looking forward to this day for a long time. So stay tuned for that
through its paces
next week, and we'll have that for you. And hopefully, next week I'll also have a review of Yggdra Union for the Game Boy Advance, last great Game Boy Advance title, and a whole lot more, so check us out Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. Also, you can go online, pressstart.thefighting.org, and the email one last time, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com.
And email me at goat@thefighting.org if you'd like to request a game that I try to play with this mouse. If I can run it on my computer, I'll do it.
All right. Sounds good. He's Dave Hampton. I'm Justin Ficino. Game over. This is the Press Start Post Show, the show after the show, the lounge, the relaxation, the...
Hey, we're allowed to go over 1 hour mark.
Yes.
Show.
And, So we just got a call about the...
Yeah, we did.
About what's going on with the Wii's and stuff. And Best Buy and, you know, what's going on. I do want to qualify and say that this Best Buy may, in fact, be sold out. But there's enough smoke about these reports about stores holding onto the Wiis for their Sunday ads that there has to be a fire here.
Well, it's hard to say. The amount of stock they have is probably private information. They're probably not required to tell people how many they have. But stores or sites like Wii Tracker and PS3 Tracker certainly knew those numbers. So I don't know.
It's interesting. Interesting business practice, definitely. So we'll see how this all turns out. I'm trying to get my hands on a Nintendo Wii because I'd like to play some of the games for it.
Yeah, Christmas is coming.
I also want an Xbox 360 because, as I mentioned, there's a lot of great stuff coming up for it.
That is a good machine. Mm-hmm. I do like my 360.
It really is. I haven't had. Remember a couple weeks ago, I said I had a bad dream.
Yeah,
about this show. I haven't had any bad dreams about this show recently. I think that's a positive.
Oh, I'm sure. Not having bad dreams is a great thing.
Yeah, well, especially about this show. I mean, usually
the show is near and dear to your heart.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that mouse I was talking about, I actually it works on the Mac as well. It's USB mouse and it works on the Mac. But there's a special. What's cool about it is there's a special the software that comes with it has presets built in for certain games already, Call of Duty and what other you know Unreal Tournament, and so you can audit. So it makes it easier, streamlines the process for you know setting the hat switches, mapping the buttons on the mouse.
I have three of those programs running on my computer right now.
Awesome.
One for the Microsoft joysticks and gamepads, one for SciTech, and one for Logitech. Because I have their enormous keyboard with 18 too many keys and a little LCD screen.
18 too many keys?
18 too many keys. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of function keys on the side. I should review this thing. This thing's great.
What do the 18 keys do?
They don't do anything unless you tell them to.
Oh.
They can do keyboard. They'll do any keyboard command, or they'll do combination commands.
Can you have them activate satellites that blow things up from orbit?
If your game has orbit death satellites, yes.
You know what game does have orbit death satellites? Gears of War.
Yeah. If you were playing Gears of War on the PC, which is rumored to be coming out, you could use this keyboard with it.
That is such a fun gun. There's this gun in Gears of War where you aim it at someone and this satellite shoots a giant laser down on them.
And I thought you could only use it on the boss creatures until my roommate pointed out, no, you can use it anywhere.
That is so that is such a great idea for a weapon.
I enjoy that.
I love that. That's
a good weapon.
It kind of reminds me of the airstrike in Worms, when you call in an airstrike.
Just like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love the Worms series.
Have you played Worms DS?
I have not played Worms
DS. Okay. Gosh, I want to see if it's good.
It's the problem with Worms DS, I've heard, is that it's only really worth playing if someone else has the game.
Okay.
So multi-card play. Because if you play, and even then, I think there's something about how you can't import your own team that you create into another person. If someone else is hosting the game, you have to play with the preset team.
Oh.
Which is kind of not fun if you named all your Worms cool things. That's part of the fun of Worms. But otherwise, it's you use the touchscreen to select weapons and, Worms is a fun...
Just a portable Worms game would be great. That's a fantastic little turn-based sort of action game.
That's what I thought, too. But the fact that to really get the most out of it, you need someone else to have the game is kind of disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's not really intensive on the DS. It's Worms. It's been out since...
I could do what I did with Super Dodgeball on the GBA. Just wait till it's really cheap, then buy two copies of it.
That's true, too.
Carry those around for a while with the link cable.
There you go. Well, and you don't need a link cable for the DS either.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea, actually. You have Super Dodgeball for the GBA?
I do. I have two copies.
I want to play that
game.
I
lost one of them.
Oh. I want to play that game.
Well, I have the other one.
Super Dodgeball? I heard that game is a perfect port of or a perfect, captures the feel.
It wasn't perfect, but it certainly had the same feel. I liked it. I had a lot of fun playing it.
That's cool.
I cannot figure out the eccentricities and subtleties of it, though. Why I throw one shot versus another. This game is a, smash buttons sort of game for me.
Smashing buttons is fun.
It's fun. There's a new basic strategy. I can tell if I'm going to pass versus shoot. Sometimes I can tell if I'm going to do a super shot.
I would love to have a next-gen dodgeball game, wouldn't you?
That would be great.
Where, when your character gets hit, you actually feel the dodgeball in your face.
The Wii controllers with a more powerful...
it comes with the...
rumbler.
The game comes with, a full body suit and that, causes pain when you get hit. And so,
Do you remember that vest, the Interactor vest? By Aura or whatever it was?
No, I don't.
It was... you were supposed to be able to feel your game. And just like every, idiotic peripheral at the time, they claimed it worked with every single game on the Super NES and Genesis, which, clearly didn't have support for this. What it was, and they made a chair that worked the same way, is it was a vest with a subwoofer in it. That was all it was.
That's it?
You could feel the music as much as you could feel the sound effects. Because most of the time when you got hit, it was a big sort of noise.
Yeah.
And so you'd feel that, sure. Well, if you had a good techno song going, you felt that too. They still have
turned
one
turned into
these.
A massage
Actually,
chair.
Captain Nemo Games at on Higuera Street, downtown in San Luis Obispo, still has the chair. No one's bought it in the 5 1/4 years I've been hanging out in this town.
Perhaps one day it will be in a museum.
That place is practically a museum for some of the old stuff they have there.
Peripherals.
I used to be able to spot all the good controller deals there because I'd bought them. I bought my Guitar Freaks guitar there. I bought some freaking joystick thing there. All sorts of weird stuff. They have a pool controller.
A what? Really?
Yeah, it's a one-axis mouse. It's a little roller that you put the fake pool cue on top of, and you slide it forward. It spins the roller. It spins the one axis on the mouse, because all the pool games take the mouse going up as input.
That's cool.
It's neat. It's not $20 cool, which is what they want for them. Yeah, they have two of them.
That's pretty neat. Speaking of joysticks and things, I played Steel Battalion last week at your house. I thought that was one of the craziest games I've ever seen in my entire life. You look at that controller and you're like, oh my god, there's a windshield wiper button, there's a change HUD color button, there's buttons for everything. I couldn't believe it. I mean, you have a manual shifter, you have two joysticks, one of them which has another joystick on top of it.
He's not kidding, boys.
I'm not kidding. No,
the left stick has another stick on top of it.
Yeah, and there's
which has more axes than the left stick, actually.
And
left
it's also a button too. The left joystick on the joystick is a button that centers your view. I could not believe it. There's a full gas pedal thing you set up. This is like the most daunting game control I've ever seen in my entire life.
This paints me as a big nerd because I realized my my elaborate SciTech little X45 thing on my computer actually has more functions.
Ooh!
And I just sat back and realized, huh? I've got a better controller than this. It's good, but I've got something even crazier.
What struck me the most, I thought, was, you know, you look at this controller, you're like, oh wow, there are a lot of buttons. Things that do, like, have hardly any absolute use, except, like, if you fall over and get dirt on your windshield, you use the windshield wiper, or, like, things like that. It's like they thought of everything. And then, what got me the most is when you turn on the game and start playing with it, all the buttons light up. Like, when you hit the buttons, they light up. Like, it feels like you're in the cockpit of a mech. It was unbelievable.
It was great.
Yeah, I am no longer a Steel Battalion virgin. So
those giant joysticks took it from you, huh?
Oh, yes. The shift lever, the joysticks, the foot pedals, everything.
How'd you like, though, the little one on top of the other one?
I could not believe that game. You know, it really takes coordination to get used to. I thought I would be able to jump right in and start playing, but it really is impressive.
When my friends came over and asked me what that was, I used to tell them it was a controller for a dating sim. And they'd say, wait, what? A dating sim? And I was like, yeah, what? You think dating is easy? I got to the point where I could say this with a perfectly straight face.
Shift my relationship into fifth gear or reverse at will.
It doesn't have a throttle on it.
This is true. Well, I had a good time with Steel Battalion, and it's a great... if you get a chance to play Steel Battalion, I would like to hear from you. Press start KCPR@gmail.com.
It's a neat game.
Neat game.
There's a lot of neat games out there, a lot of neat unknown games. Next week, I'd like to see if I can't get a review in for Jets and Guns, an independent little shooter by Rake and Grass Studios. I believe it's a British company. I need to check that. They're in Europe somewhere. Neat little game. I've been playing it a lot. And there's an expansion coming out soon, so I figured I might as well get around to reviewing it.
We will, and hopefully next week we'll have a review of Jets and Guns for you, so...
I'll try to play it with the mouse.
Do it.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Thanks for listening to the Press Start and the Press Start Post Show. I'll see you next week.